Yes, hopefully everybody's thank you for being part. Today we want to think about or look at how do we plan the future? How do we survive in Babylon? How do we continue in this system that is bent on destroying us and everybody that's in it? So, we were talking this morning with one of our recipients, and we were just mentioning of how the system, as I was listening to a YouTube, and it was talking about this guy. He is up revealing a whole bunch of stuff of what's going on and so forth. And he went to a Jesuit school. He was one of them elite kids, you know, born in an elite family and all of that stuff. So he's in Europe and all of that. And I'm like, okay, you're in Europe, you're elite. And he says that he was learning, you know, all of these different things. And I just thought, I'm saying, how are we going to compare? How are we going to ever catch up? The education I got and the education we got ain't covering none of that stuff. If anything, they're trying to hide it. So I'm getting a different education than the elite kids, you know. And, I mean, what does this tell us? I mean, what in the world is going on? He was saying, listen, guys, let me tell you what's going on. Okay? The Roman Empire, the Roman stuff that we're set up under, the Republic that we're set up under, is all a hoax, is a joke. But it is still running the planet. And he was just going over of how the law of all that stuff came into existence, and he was just saying, he was trying to figure out, what is his role? Why is he on this planet? He says, is his role just to be part of this system and this other stuff and perpetuate? And he said, man, I'm not down for all that. So he's out here revealing a bunch of stuff. And he was just mentioning of how the Roman and the empire of how that for you to own land, that you had to be registered in the Roman, you know, books. But only people that could be registered in Roman books are Roman citizens. And everybody wasn't a Roman citizen, so if you wasn't a Roman citizen, you cannot own land, even though you grew the food and you produced the land and you had all that. But the key was you wasn't written in a book, and you couldn't be written in a book if you wasn't a Roman citizen. So you can have the land, you can keep paying on it, you can keep growing food on it, but basically whenever we want, we just come and get the bad boy. And I'm like, whoa, what? And he was just saying that everybody was just basically slaves to the Roman, you know, elite. Everybody's just a slave to you. I mean, hey, you're producing the food, you're doing all this, and yes, your name is down here. But only person's name that's on their original thing is that they will go around into provinces and steal and take over the land and it will go under a province of a Roman. That means if I lived in, you know, in France, or if I lived in England and I was conquered by the Romans, or if I lived in Germany and I was conquered by the Romans, none of that land is owned by you. It's now put under my name, and that's how they stole the world. But they said the Roman Empire never, you know, the sun never set on the Roman Empire, and that's what they would do. They would go around the entire world taking it. And then everybody that would, you know, you would think you own the land, and they claim they sell you the land, but you never own the land. I'm like, wow. And then he was just saying, we're just slaves to these groups of folk that, you know, own everything. And it's still the Roman Empire. And they said that they would do surveys every few years. And the survey was to make sure your name is registered, making sure that somebody's occupying the land and that type of thing, and writing down all your slaves, your servants, your servitude, or whoever, whatever, in this list. And so they were, you know, part of your property. So all of this was going on. And so when they went to Africa, that they, you know, claiming this and they colonized this and all of that. And that's why your Africa is divided up into Portuguese control, German control, American control, Great Britain control, all of these different things. And these boys still rule and own all the world. They're just saying, you guys are, you know, y'all are just colonialists, you know, slaves, the people that we allow you to run your little government, but, you know, I said, you don't know nothing. And I'm like, wow. And so it's more incorporated in, I don't know how it's incorporated in the Europe, in the Africa and the islands, but I know in America and in Europe, it's, you know, yeah, everybody. And so that's why they keep track of all of these different things, of who owns what tracks and so forth. Such that today, now, when you buy a house and you buy land, it all goes into the land name of the bank. And who owns the banks? And I'm like, dang, this thing is insanity. I mean, this thing is worse than I thought it was. I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad. So these guys are just running everything. So we were just saying, okay, so he was just saying that the education system, that's where he learned all of this so that he could have access to understanding all of this. Where the average person never gets the chance to understand that. You just keep working, your job, get your house, get your car, get your this, that, the other. And it's all a joke. You know, I own none of this stuff when it's over. And that's why it takes you 33 years, you know, 30 years to own a house. And when your house is over, what happens when you don't pay the taxes on the land? They take it. And they did that to lots of blacks in the South, that they didn't pay their taxes and they went north and so forth, and they lost the land. And who they lose it to? They lost it right back to who owned it? The government owned it. Then they sold it to some other white slaves, you know. I mean, what, you know. And then that's how we lost all the land in the South. So, yeah, bro, you can say that you own land. You can claim you own your house. Stop making a payment and see what happens. But this is all a joke. That's what he was basically saying. And I'm like, man. I knew that we were being tricked by the foods. I knew we were doing the Terminator seeds. I know they're shooting chemicals in the foods. I know they're shooting up the animals. I know they're shooting up the fish. I know they're taking one-fourth of sewage and putting it in our water system and feeding it to us, and they call it a concoction. You know, just like you're making a liquor drink. You know, it's a concoction. That's what they're feeding us every day through the water system. One-fourth of it is sewage. I'm like, this is, these guys are literally insane. And we are literally idiots. Because they got us on lockdown, and we have no clue that we are still enslaved. And I'm like, wow. So I'm saying, okay. So we were just talking, and we were just saying, okay. So if I went, got my PhD, got my stuff in engineering, okay, good, I got all of that stuff. But then that's only the scientific side, man, of nature and the creator. That's all you're dealing with. How does the joint really work? The politics and the political wires. Emmanuel, you're never going to understand all of that. I mean, let somebody like these guys reveal it to you. But that's what's going on, man. I'm like, okay. So then I'm getting a better understanding of Revelation chapter 18. Babylon is fallen, has become the habitations of devils and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird and a foul spirit. And come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahweh has remembered her sins, and will reward her double, even as she has rewarded thee. I'm like, wow. What does it mean to literally come out? I was showed in 1980 through a dream that we got to lead the people out. And I will lead the people out. We will get out of Babylon. But how deep is Babylon that we're pulling out of? I had no clue until this morning a little bit. I had a little glimpse that we were slaves and we were this, but I didn't know to what extent this thing is gone. This thing has gone to insane control. So that's why he says, come out. You got to come out because this stuff is too deep, man. You're going to get sucked up. If you're sucked up in it, then you don't even know how deep it is. So we were just talking this morning. We were just talking about if you have a family, okay, if you raise your kids, okay, just on the education aspect, okay, they, you know, said that, hey, I'm gonna have to send my kids to private school. Got that. Okay, that's what everyone usually says. Okay, now that we know that the school system, the public school system, they're teaching us really nothing deep and, you know, in understanding as the elites are, how do we get the education of Bush, who got a D, who graduated with a D, just barely graduated, and become president of the United States? Yes, that's what we're talking about. How does that happen? What education connection did he have? Yes, that is what we're talking about. You think we're going to get that? You can forget that. I don't care what public school, private school you send them to. So, okay, say you send them to a private school, a good private school, okay? When I grew up, I was sent to a private school, 14 Holy Martyrs. My mom said that was the best one in the neighborhood. So I went to 14 Holy Martyrs. Catholics, you know, they beat us and whipped us and broke rulers over our backs and everything else they could do. And so I got eventually kicked out. And, you know, my younger brother, year and a half years different, he stayed and he went through the whole system. He was able to handle it. So then I went to private public school in Queens, out where the rich white boys are. So we went over there, got the school there, you know, got education there, went to Lutheran High School, got an education there, all races, but don't matter. My mom said, we just need you to get a good education. This public school stuff ain't working. So we did that. So, okay, they sacrificed, did all of that. Then when we get out, we're still educated under white supremacy. Okay, what public private school you go to? White supremacists, that's all it's about. So, yeah. So, okay, I avoided, you know, getting a better education from the public school, but I got a deeper, whiter supremacy education. Now, and if I go to the elite school like where this guy went, to the Jesuit school, it's going to be a deeper white supremacist. So I'm getting a better education. I'm just getting a better education in white supremacy. So what have I gained? Nothing. So then we were just saying that, okay, well, then, that was the same situation that we were in. My mom was in that situation, so she sent us to private school. That's what, you know, most people would want to do. That's what most people were doing. That's what everybody that, you know, was engineers and they had children, that's what they did. They sent their kids to private school. Except for us. We decided, nah, we don't trust the system. We know the system is lying. We know they're teaching white supremacy. We know we're not sending our kids there. We are not sending our kids to the public school. We ain't sending our kids to the private school because it's white supremacy. We're not sending them to any of that stuff because they would destroy my kids, period, because they would continue the system. So then we decided that we're going to homeschool. So we will make up our curriculum. We will determine what is being taught, and it will not be white supremacy. So can that happen today? The average person will tell you no. You must have two incomes to survive today. You know that when I was coming through, they said the same thing? Everybody that I knew, that was engineers and so forth, everybody had two jobs, husband and wife, all of them worked. And we decided which one is more important, having this big house, this big mansion, which I never owned, by the way, having all two, three new cars all the year, going on vacation, is that what life is about? Is that what I'm going to give me and my kids? Or am I going to sacrifice and say, no, man, one of us ain't working. We're going to homeschool these kids, and these children are going to become ambassadors for the Creator. These children are going to become John the Baptist. These children are going to get an education outside of the system. They will not be part of this system. We will come out. We will pull them out of the system. We won't allow. We will let Revelation 18 come to pass. Come out of her, my people. Yes, we're pulling our kids out. And so that's what we did. Do you think that was hard? Of course it was hard. Everybody else is laughing at you. Y'all got two people with, two different degrees. You're a speech therapist. You got yourself masters in speech therapy, a master's in engineering, and you guys could be making buco money, man. Y'all just be bringing all the dough in. Yeah, man. Then y'all could have the big house, you send your kids to this private school, let them be white supremacists, brainwashed. And we were saying, no. And so, now the other thing was that the Creator put it back. He was saying, okay, all right, get your bachelor's. Okay, we both got our bachelor's together. Go get your master's. I started my master's. We had to stop. Then I had to, we went to Alabama, and Renee, she got her master's down there. Then we came back to the North for me to finish my master's at Howard. So all of this, no children. But we're getting to the point that we can make it off of one salary. Because we needed the master's. You got to have the master's PhD, something to do something with. So we got to that point. And immediately when I graduated my bachelor's, we both graduated bachelor's, master's, I worked a year, then I came back to get my master's, then we quit, then we went down to Alabama, took 2 years, Renee got her master's, so we came back so that she can work with her master's in Frederick, and then I can finish my degree at Howard. So when I finished my degree at Howard, now both of us having master's, boom, I'm offered the PhD level, boom, but the Creator says, hey, you all got to have the kids now. What? I graduate in July of 1986. My first baby is July of 1986. So everything that we had planned for years prior, from 1980 to 1986, that's those 6 years, it was now, we will not have two incomes. We will never have two incomes, basically. You're going to have to sacrifice choice between the two incomes or raising your kids separated from the world. And what's to us, that's not even a question. That's no question. We decided that in 1980. So boom. So Renee, she stops working, speech therapist. I work at PJM, power pool company, control 5 states and 9 utility companies. Worked there. That was second African-American ever hired there. So we're doing that, living out there, Schuylkill Haven, PA. Out there next door to Mennonites and so forth in farm country and all the stuff we wanted, homeschooling. So decide how far do you want to come out of the system? Well, we can come all the way out. All right, no birth certificate. All right, so we can't track this. So our children, are you going to be part? No, so no birth certificate. So now we start having our kids, and there's no birth certificates. We have our own midwives, okay, midwives. We have our own doctor who's a vegetarian, who believes in natural healing, who's not fighting us on coming out of the system. The midwives are out of the system. They're not fighting us on coming out of the system. So, I mean, it's like Yahweh has opened the door that you can actually do this if you really want to do this. Or you can be like everybody else, have two jobs and have all the money and have all the vacation and have all the big house, have all the materialism in the world and destroy your kids. So we said, no, we're taking a higher level. So the day is time, so then it was time to get Social Security. So usually when you're born in the hospital, they're given a Social Security number and a birth certificate. Okay? We didn't have either. So our kids did not have a birth certificate. Our children did not have a Social Security number. Our children was not trackable that they existed. So we had pulled them out of the world, literally, as Revelation chapter 18 says. And they lived there for as long as we were able to homeschool and do all of those other things, and we didn't need it. We did not need it in reference to, and they did not get the shots. They grew up vegetarian. They did not get these shots that were vaccine shots and all the stuff that they shoot kids up with, and they go mentally retarded and all of these other things. No. And so that was like, wow. So coming out of the system means that you can get free from all of these other entanglements that, yeah, if you're going to go to our school, you got to get all shot up. Okay? If you do this, okay, and at an early age, so, you know, your body doesn't even have nothing to react to. And most black males, boys, go mentally, you know, stressed out or they have a higher percentage than anyone else. So we have one black male and two black females. And we were precious and wanting to keep track to make sure that they do not get caught up in this thing. So what is the present generation going to be faced with? Are they going to sell their children down the tubes to a system that is based on white supremacy, based on destroying the black family? Or are they going to be able to figure out how to get their own, you know, make sure that their kids are educated? How do we decide that? How do this generation decide that? Now, one thing they can do is do what I did, what we did, my wife, my ex-wife, and myself, how we did it. That's one way you could do it. Another way is there a school that is raised up that will believe this stuff that we're talking about? And so that's the other alternative, finding a school that would teach that. And so one of the other things that have come up was that, yes, I have my doctorate, and that's what I want to do. I want to raise up a school such that they will teach the truth, just as we did and as we're learning now, and have a network of people that can send their children there. Just like we had a network of engineers and a network of people having Bible studies, even when we was in Schuylkill Haven, we had a little Bible study group. We had some from the Mennonites. We had some from the Amish. We had some from other different people. Yeah. So we can do that here. When we was on campus, we had different people in the Maryland, D.C., the McKinneys, the Blacks, the Hollands, the Fords, and there was others, the Jacksons. So there was always others, Brother James and so forth, that we could, you know, collaborate with. Then when we went to Frederick, we had the Wilson family, Pastor Jones, and Brother Drew, and those. So can we get a group like this together? Now we can't knock on doors. Now we can't do it the regular way that we did when we was growing up. When we was in Pennsylvania, we literally knocked on doors. That's how we got become part. When we went to Alabama, we did similar things. So how do we now work on this YouTube, this World Wide Web, this Facebook. How else can I gather a group of people that's interested in ebooks, that are interested in webinars, to understand what we're in and be able to develop like we did with the Bible study group that lasted almost, you know, all through the years of all the children. And that was at least 25 years, whatever. So how can we do that on an international level? Not just America, anybody around the world who can get on the web, who have Facebook, who can. How can we reach this next generation? So that's where I am. And that's where this generation, if they're going to have a school that they can send them to, it would be a school like that. But now the question is, how do I do that? How can we do that? So the question is left up to you guys, this younger generation. How will you raise your kids? How will you have them indoctrinated? Have you thought about that? Secondly, will you find a husband or wife that is interested in doing that, in wanting to either homeschool or to live off of one income? That's the important thing. You live off of one income. Okay, that's what we have to do. Or if you're going to live off the two incomes, you're going to have to pay somebody to teach them and train them to do your homeschooling or a school like I'm trying to design. So the question is, have you thought about that? Is this generation seriously looking at things that we looked at back in the 80s that is affecting everybody? And how do you guys make this decision? And how can you guys help in getting us to build this school, this international, internet, worldwide web school, like others? Other people have done this stuff. So I'm just from the old school, so I've just been knocking on doors. So now how do I move that into knocking on Facebook or knocking on to World Wide Web? How do we get this network going? So that's my question to you guys. Y'all need a network. Y'all need a place where your kids can be educated, even if you just homeschool them yourself. So that's my point to you guys, and I'm willing and ready to hear y'all responses. Now, don't everybody talk at the same time.
Yeah. All right. Well, for one, you'd have to have the demand. That way you'd be able to sustain yourself. And some people feel like kids nowadays, I don't know, you'd have to find a demand. Like for us, when we were little, we didn't have a choice. And, I mean, I'm happy about it. I liked it. I thought it was good. But if I ever speak to people about that kind of stuff, they just think it's just the craziest thing ever. Which, I mean, obviously their opinion doesn't matter. But like you said, I mean, if you're not able to do that yourself, then there should be a resource for you. But, I mean, I don't know. I think technology is right at our fingertips. But a lot of times, too, that's what makes everything harder because everybody's so caught up in technology. You know what I mean?
Okay, the question still is, okay, two things. Yes, that is, yes. Some people who did not understand Revelation 18 come out of her, my people, and how serious it was, yes, that was more than a little extreme. That is going overboard. Yes, you're right. But those that understood Revelation 18, like my sister and Renee's sister, they encouraged us down this path because they said, yes, this is the way. It's not crazy. And I wish we could do it, but we can't do it because we have, it's only one of us. We don't have a husband and a wife team to, you know, that believes this and can move forward. So, yes, depending on where your status is or where people are. But remember, we're still talking about a small group of people that we had that does exist. And the only reason why I ran across them at Howard and the reason why I ran across them on the doors, because I, you know, interacted with people and knocked on doors and we went to people's homes and so forth. And that's how we got them, even though they're just a small group. So there is a group of people that would want what we have. Now the question is, how do we use y'all technology to get them? And have you guys thought about any of this for yourselves and how deep, and do you really want to come out of Hurt My People? That's just the first question. Do y'all believe that we need to come out of Hurt My People, and what does that mean for your generation, you guys?
I'll answer both your questions. First question, yes, I think we do need to come out of her. However, my answer to your first question was, what have we thought about and stuff in regards to kids? Like, obviously, I don't have any children, but the thought has crossed my mind, if I can't find the right person that would agree with me to just not have any children. Because it's basically almost impossible by yourself, and you wouldn't want to raise your kids in a, you know what I mean? Because like I said, to other people, it sounds like it's crazy. So if you can't find someone that supports you, then I don't know if you can actually do it. Like you said, that's what you were saying with, you know, your sister, mom's sister, that they wanted to, but they couldn't do it because they didn't have the support they needed to do it.
Okay, good point. Now, the question, okay, so y'all do believe that we need to come out. Is that that's the first question, because if we don't need to come out, there's no need for any or all of this.
Well, yeah, I agree we need to come out, too.
Because mm-hmm. That's the biggest question right there. Okay, so the other point was you had mentioned that, okay, you can't do it by yourself. We have that from experience, yeah. Our sisters made it crystal clear that couldn't happen. Okay. So we were able to do it, but there was a small group of people. Okay, so how do we reach this generation that exists to be able to get a Bible study group or the same thing that y'all grew up with, that the McKinneys grew up with, and all? How do we get that type of a group going on, you know, Facebook, World Wide Web, YouTube? How do we get this out there so that we can have these ebooks, the webinars, and all of these different things for your generation so that you can have, okay, so now this is the catch. If we can build that, then worldwide you will have access to husbands and wives that believe the same thing. And we will be able to, as the Bible put it, the Bible was said, okay, three times a year I need y'all to get together, okay, you know, for three different major feasts. You can make one of them, that's fine, but whatever. The point is such that now you can interact with each other, y'all can learn what y'all are learning from each other, and you can see, hey, maybe there's some mates from that viewpoint. I mean, that's where you will get your mates from. You're not going to get your mates from going out here by yourself. That ain't going to happen because ain't nobody going to think in that level. So those that are part of this Internet, a World Wide Web, Bible study, ebook, webinars, we will be able to interchange information and meet, you know, yearly and so forth, so that we can meet new faces and new people that believe the same thing so that they could find good mates. That's the other part to that. Now, let me give you a good example. If Renee and I and Aunt Linda and Aunt Carolyn, if all of us did not go to the same church, and Aunt Sandy, we all went to the same church, we were all there training and learning and developing from the basics, and then from there, we were eventually kicked out. You know, I got kicked out, but that's cool. But the point was that if I didn't have that environment, I would not have never ruined that. Your mom. Now, that environment didn't create it because the environment, I met your mom up on Bible study that I gave on Howard's campus. So that's how that happened, because I would give them Bible study. But it expanded into the church, then into my sister-in-law and my sister and all of that, And so my point was that you need a group of Bible study serious people who you can all interconnect and believe the same, and from there you will be able to pick your marriage partner. That makes sense? That's what happened for us under our situation. So I would assume that that's a good pattern that can be used for you guys.
But you gotta be around like-minded people. You have to have exposure to people who think the same way you do. If not, it's just not going to happen.
That's correct. All right, so now that we know how we can do it, now the next question is, how can we build this Bible study, ebook, webinars, so that we can get this group, so that we can move to the next level for you guys, because that's going to be the next level for you and their children and, you know, other friends and the whole, I mean, this thing can really, I mean, that's what the book said, so. How do we reach your generation? That's the question.
Well, I think it just has to start with a few people, and then a few more people get added on, you know, and build over time. It's not going to be something that happens, like, overnight, but just kind of starting with the people who are ready to start, and then it grows from there.
Okay, now... Now, I mean, but Bobby said, well, basically how it works is you tell somebody else, okay, hey, we have any Bible study groups, we have any e-books, okay, y'all need to go up online, you know, hey, why don't you come and visit? Just like people say, invite you to their church. Invite us to their Bible study group. Invite us to their email, webinars, those type of things. That's how he said, that's how it happened. And then, you know, two brings two, and another two brings two, and it multiplies from two to four to six to eight. It's to the square. So by the time you have your fifth one, you got like 64 people. But the people who are listening and the people who are believing what you're doing have to go out and recruit you and, you know, find others that, you know, like I invite you to church.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. What I've actually done, obviously no one has jumped on the call that I've invited. People sound like they're interested. Even my family members, like, you know, like Shamaya. I invited my one friend, Brandon, to jump on if he ever wanted to, because he thinks a different way than other people think. And, you know, I will continue to invite people if the interest, you know, if it's not like something that they're interested in. Then say, hey, this is what we need, and blah, 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 and you can come and listen and whatever, or communicate, whatever you feel. But this will probably be helpful to you. It's only an hour. It's on Saturday mornings. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to market. It's just, I can't make people jump on the phone, but y'all have the information. And every once in a while, I will check up to, like, hey, so are you ever planning to get on? Oh, yeah. And I never... I talk to these people all the time, and they still don't get on. So they have to get on whenever they're ready. So like Najee said, it doesn't happen overnight. But, yeah, if there's someone that you think would, you know, would be a good addition, then it's great. And sometimes I think adding, depending on the people, like, for example, we have this Emory Union Committee that Najee and I are both on, right? And sometimes I'm happy that we added other people too, you know, like it's like, you know, the normal, like mom and her sisters and then us, but we also added in people that we don't really know. And I was like, man, I really don't do this. Like, they want to make our reunion kind of like their reunion, whatever their reunion is for their side of the family, you know, which is cool. But at the end of the day too, sometimes, you know, things don't work like that because of the way people are or the way family is. You know what I mean? Sometimes it doesn't work for you and won't work for me. But I think now it seems like we're getting some really good ideas. So it'll kind of be like that, too. In the beginning, maybe it won't seem like it's something that will work. And then as you continue on the road, because you're, you know, if the person continues coming, then you realize, okay, well, maybe we can come to a middle road here. Maybe you can teach me something, too.
Okay. That's the Bobby's point was everybody has to be dedicated to at least invite two people every week, you know, running across different people to It's like, you know, that's how they build the church. Hey, come visit my church, man. And everybody bugs everybody about come visit the church. All right, I'll eventually come visit your church. They might like it. They might not like it. Might be good thoughts. It might not be, you know, whatever. But if everybody's dedicated to every week, at least inviting two people, that's where it multiplies. Maybe out of the two people, none of them come, like you said. Maybe out of the two people, one comes. But if you do that over a month, every two people, that's 2, 4, 6, 8. Out of the 8, if, you know, two people come out of 8, that's cool. And if there are two people who can invite two other people, then you can see. So it's like that type of a thing. He was saying basically people got to be dedicated to believe that what the work that you're teaching and that you're doing is something that's needed. And if it's needed, hey, we're going to, you know, we're going to share it with others to tell them, hey, this is, you know, this is something that would probably benefit you, benefit us, and so forth. So, okay, cool. So what was about the other part? Have y'all thought about, I know y'all been, you know, I'm sure out there looking to see if you can find mates, but I guess that's hard. That would, you know, that would think and prepare you for something like this. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's difficult. I think it's difficult because, like I said, I mean, depending on how you want to, for me, I think the most difficult part is kids, because that to me is like, it's a huge deal in how you raise your kids and what kind of things you let them do and what kind of things you don't let them do and, you know, what kind of things you do for them. And, you know, if you want to have a home birth, but the husband doesn't want to because he doesn't have anything to, he doesn't believe in, you know what I mean, or whatever, that I think is for me, because you can kind of like, you know, you can compromise in a lot of things, I think, you know, but I think when it comes to kids, for me, I don't think I found anybody that was been compatible with enough yet, you know, that and these are conversations that I actually have, because I think it's important to have, you know, and like I said, like, honestly, I've thought about, well, maybe I just didn't have any kids because I'm not about to raise these children and get them all shot up and, you know, do all this crazy stuff, and I'm not doing that, you know, or bake them bacon and eggs every morning and have them all overweight and fat and dying. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Or, you know, what if I want to have my children at home and I, you know, I'm dealing with somebody who doesn't think that's safe and doesn't believe in it, and, you know what I mean, who doesn't think it's going to work out, and, you know, doesn't want you to be off work for a year so that you can, you know, really take care of your kids and bond with your children before you send them off into the world. You do, you know what I'm saying? Like, that to me, I think, is the hardest thing to find, because people, no one grew up like us. And so if you want to take bits and pieces of what we got growing up, everyone thinks you're crazy because they didn't get to experience anything like that. Although they see the end result, which is good, you know, I think we all turned out all right, you know, and we're only going to get better. But at the end of the day, too, it's like a big risk for them because they know what their family tradition is and what they're used to doing. And it might not necessarily be right.
Okay.
Yeah,
I agree. Do you think we grew up that way?
No, Dad. I know you didn't grow up that way, but what I'm saying is the fact that you had an open mind and you were looking for other things. Some people really like the way they grew up. Some people really appreciate it. Saturday morning cartoons, eating cereal and sitting there until your parents get up at noon. You know, we didn't have that. We didn't do that. We would have to get up and go running every morning and do push-ups and then do pull-ups and then do this and then do that, and then we would eat, but it would only be fruits in the morning. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I might not make my kids get up and do all that in the morning, but, I mean, you're not going to just sit around and stuff your face all day. You know, no, you're going to do stuff, too, outside. But at the end of the day, a lot of people, like I said, are comfortable with what they experienced growing up. So changing to something else that they don't know, although you were open to that because you were looking into it and stuff, doesn't mean that other people will be. And like I said, with my experience, it seems like to me that a lot of other people would not be okay with it, because kids are important, you know, so you can, like I said, you can compromise on a lot of things, but children, that's really important. You guys have to both be in agreement, and that's where a lot of marriages go wrong, because you both don't agree. Like, I have friends right now who they have a different agreement on how to discipline their children, and the kid knows who to play, because even when they're in the same room together, because the mom will coddle him and, oh my gosh, are you all right? Let me hold you. I love you so much, when he's bad. And the dad's like, no, I'm about to beat you. And she's like, no. You know, like, it just, that's not a healthy environment for the kid. Y'all need to come to, y'all didn't think about that before you had a kid. You know what I mean? No one thought about that, I guess, because they don't even agree on that. You see what I'm saying?
Good point.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think for me, I'm done. You can't do it by yourself, first and foremost. Obviously, there's no income. You can't live off one income if you only have one income. So that eliminates, like, all the options to homeschool. I mean, like, it eliminates a lot. So then you have to find a mate who's also going to be on the same page as you are, you know, in regards to raising your kids and all that stuff. And then you hope to God that your mate doesn't die or something. Because then if not, you'll be back to one income. So life is very unpredictable. You just have to figure out what you are going to do, you know, and hopefully meet a person who meshes with you and who can walk the whole path of life with you through it all as well. I mean, yeah, it's a consideration in terms of, you know, I've definitely tried to do that with, in terms of rearing my child, you know, making sure he's not exposed to different kind of things, especially, you know, when they're younger. You know, making sure they eat the right stuff, making sure they have full, balanced meals, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. But at the same time, I know for me, I've wanted to homeschool, you know, or even send to a private Christian school. But you obviously can't homeschool if you have to work. And then you obviously, if you can't afford to send them to a private school, then they just don't go. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of things to consider and a lot of things you can't even begin to consider until you actually have been there, you know. So you have to find a good mate who agrees with the same kind of things that you do. So if the man can work and you can stay home and take care of the kids and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, yes, that's ideal. You know, I felt like if I found somebody who I knew was going to be there, who I could take care of the kids. Because I would love to, if I have more kids, I would love to homeschool them. I would love to make sure they know multiple different languages. I would, you know, there's a lot of things that I would love to instill in them, you know, at a young age. And as they grow up, you know, and have that balance of, you know, mom versus dad, and not versus, but mom and dad, you know, as a team, agreeing on how they're going to discipline them so the kids aren't confused. You know, if mom's the softer of the two, then dad's there to balance it out, or vice versa. You know, so there's definitely a lot of elements that go into having kids, considering to have kids. You know, God forbid you have a kid and you haven't had these discussions in advance, or it's a surprise, you know, because then you may be with somebody who doesn't agree on anything that you agree on, you know, and then you're just stuck, and that's what it is. So there's definitely a lot to consider. I think the Bible study thing would be great. I might give an opportunity to meet people, but you can't expect to meet people there because there's a lot more that goes into, you know, meeting and building a relationship. Than meeting on the web or meeting, you know, once or twice a year, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. So, you know, I guess as we date the people who we're dating or consider the people who we're considering, you know, these are all the conversations to be had. And then if you're finding that you're not coming across people like that, then you have to figure out, okay, well, what way am I willing to compromise? Or just not be in a relationship at all. But I'm talking about, you know, in terms of having kids, or in terms of dealing with the kids that you guys already have, or, you know, just in terms of figuring things out. You have to be in agreement in advance, and then if not, get on the same page later, which is hard. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. So one of the good things is having a network. My point was you missed the beginning of our presentation, but that's okay. I mean, it'll mm-hmm. be up on. You know, you can listen to it. But in the beginning, we talked about some of that. And when we talk about the younger, the key was you have to have a network. And this white dude that was that was doing a presentation, he had grown up in an elite family in Europe, and he had grown up in a society such that he went to a Jesuit school. And so he was, you know, he had learned all type of stuff that we never gonna learn, no matter how much private school I go to. That just ain't happening. And so, but they're trained to run the world and run this and run that, you know, and a whole bunch of other things. So he's out exposing all of this stuff. And so the point was that we have to build, we have to have a network. That's why it says, come out of her, my people, that you can have this network. And so that's what I was saying, as we can build this Bible study, this study spirituality. I don't even know if we should be calling it Bible study, what we should be calling it. And then be able to come from there to get a network. No, we're not saying that you'll network with different people all across the world. Yeah, you'll be able to network. You'll see them once a year. No, some of them will probably be in Virginia. Some of them will be local. Some of them, you won't even know how many people are around you that are of like mind. And most people don't know. So because they don't know, they'll be closer to you than you think. Because I would have never thought that I would be up on Howard's campus and I would have run across all of these people that were down. And that's just in my whole backyard neighborhood. So I'm sure when this network gets up and going, you'll be people all over Maryland, Virginia, D.C., California, Florida, all over the planet, Jamaica, the islands, that will be of like mind. And it'll be easy to find. So, you know, that's why the creator sets up networks. That's why there is networks, because they do work. The question is, you got to set up your own network. And this network that we try to set up, yes, it's a network that is needed. Now, and I guess, did anyone else have anything else they wanted to share? Jabari, do you have anything? If not, no problem. But I guess some of the subjects that we should talk about is what subjects that will be most interesting to the people that you guys are around or that you guys might invite. I assume people of color might be one, people of color in the Bible or Bible history, or another one would be health and its relationship. Another one might be somebody told me, Emmanuel, you need to talk about marriage. You need to talk about, you know, growing, raising kids, things that y'all need to, you know, whatever. I don't know what subjects people are mainly interested in, on how do you grow spiritually. You know, how eating the word and drinking the word and how that becomes part of you, how to memorize the word, how to sing songs of the word. We used to sing Bible songs. You know, people would be interested in that. So there's lots of subjects. I just need to know what subjects you guys think that we could, you know, write up, click them off, and then we can start, you know, having some around there so that you can feel comfortable inviting your friends or people you just met, you know, anybody, basically. They don't have to be close friends. They can be just people that you think that might be interested, that, you know, could benefit. You never know what's on people's minds and what they're going through and why they might need something like that at the moment. So if we can put a list together of what y'all think, I'll send out an email with a list of subjects that I have in mind. Y'all can tell me some ones that y'all have in mind of what would be good to do. So that's where we can start. And for just ending Black History Month. Okay, is that okay? I'll send that out to everybody. Y'all can think about it. All right. Okay, if there's nothing else, if Jabari, somebody wants to offer a word of prayer to close out.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we got a chance to study and discuss and to better have an understanding of how we can help in this world and how we can best be led of you to help lead others. To the corner with an understanding and protect us as we go our separate ways and we need to give us peace.
Amen.
All right,
Jabari.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
if you could disconnect us from the recording. All right, I guess we'll have to hang up, everybody. All right, so thanks, everybody, for being part, and we'll hook up again.
All right,
bless. All right.